By the time Canadians reach age 40, one in two have or have had some sort of a mental illness. It is a shocking number. And financial difficulties can be a major trigger. A new report by Navigator for Bridgehouse Asset Managers found that almost three quarters of advisors encountered clients suffering from some type of anxiety. So what can be done to help? Joining us now is Navigator Principal Anne Kilpatrick. Hello there.
Hi, nice to see you.
This is a huge topic and a very important topic. What are some of the findings of the research that you did on mental health as it relates to financial planning?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here today. Some of the most interesting findings were really reflective of the care and the investedness, if you will, of the advisor with their clients. Advisors started to come forward in discussions with Bridgehouse and other organizations talking about some of the challenges they were facing with their clients. And as a result, Bridgehouse said, okay, let's find out what's really going on out there. Interviewed over 200 advisors and found out that many of them are facing interactions with individuals who are clearly showing signs of having difficulty making decisions about their investments. Now, there's mental health and there's mental illness. And I think it's important to differentiate between the two. So mental health, we're seeing a huge increase in the incidence of anxiety. We've heard it from the United Way and many other sources in the country talking about anxiety being a barrier to decision making. So we saw that 72% of advisors are interacting with their clients and finding that they have anxiety issues, which is having an impact on their decision making.
Now, what do we interpret from that number? Because anxiety can be on the verge of being a mental illness, or
yes,
it can be I'm stressed because I think I'm going to be late for work.
So,
and for a lot of people, just talking to a financial advisor prompts anxiety. It's like, money, Where's the line between what is consistent with this is a topic you don't love talking about and, whoa, this is a problem?
So that's a great question. I think the issue is anxiety expresses itself when there are serious occurrences in someone's life, a death of a spouse. This is the type of information that the advisors told us about. Death of a spouse, and I'll give you a perfect example. Among the boomer generation, women live longer than men now, and has been the case for many years. The husband dies. The woman finds herself in a position where she is responsible for the portfolio. She's already expressing anxiety because she's alone now in the world, if you will. And all of a sudden, she has to make decisions about the portfolio. Boom, anxiety. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I know what the right decision is? And particularly if they haven't been involved in the relationship, the advisory relationship, which is not uncommon in the boomer generation. So that anxiety leads to two things. One, stress when you're interacting with an advisor. But more importantly, I think, what we heard is it stops people from being able to make decisions. Mm. And so literally they're shutting down in their relationship with their advisor. So the advisor is in a situation where they're trying to do the best for their client, but they're getting no information and they can't do anything for them. So it's this tension that the advisor feels and concern that their client is going to do the best thing for their portfolio.
Was it in scope for you to address how advisors feel about engaging in those kinds of topics? Because historically, if you think about the stockbroker model, it was, I'm going to buy and sell stocks and make you lots of money. And then we moved to this era where it was about holistic financial planning. And
yes,
certainly at the high end, people take a great interest in all aspects of their client's life. But these are not medical, these are not mental health professionals who are on the other side of the desk.
Yeah. Well, so there's a tension because they're not sure how far they can go. And they want to ensure that they're not being intrusive with their clients. So what they're looking for and what we heard from the research is we're looking for information on two levels. One, we want information that tells us what might be the signs of individuals who may be expressing symptoms, if you will, of mental illness and or anxiety or some kind of mental health issue. So just give us some strategies, some simple strategies to maybe identify. Secondly, what are the strategies that we can then use to make the client feel more comfortable? So I'll give you a perfect example. We had one advisor who talked about a strategy where for elderly clients who may be experiencing signs of diminished capacity or the beginning of onset of dementia. He never made an appointment with that that client until about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Why? Because in the mornings, it's very difficult for clients to come to be ready. They're full of anxiety. You need to give them time to wake up, get their papers together,
no rushing,
get their thoughts together, and get them into the office. But give them a little bit of time. So what we heard is advisors are looking to their peers. They're looking to the mental health profession to find strategies to help in interactions with clients who may be expressing mental health issues.
One of the other data points that struck me was 54% of those advisors have noticed clients with depression, which, again, on quite a broad spectrum here. How does the depression element play into financial decision making?
Well, it's I'll give you another example. We had an advisor who provided a story where at night the client would write these really nasty, if you will, emails to the advisor saying, you know, la, 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 I've got a problem. The advisor would come in the next morning with their team and get this email and wonder what the heck is going on. Well, what it turned out, after about 3 years of this happening, the client finally told the advisor that it was depression, that he had been diagnosed as clinically depressed. So what it often expresses or how it expresses is in behavior that the advisor may take personally, and that may be a problem. They think they're doing something wrong. If they know that the client has an issue, they can then use strategies to help when that kind of occurrence happens. So we know that they have depression. We know they're likely to send emails late at night. So we need to make sure that we get them during the day, we follow up, and the strategies to cope with that situation.
One of the concerns I can imagine for financial advisors is how far to go, given that their very business model is predicated on their ability to retain clients. Yes. So if you say, I'm noticing X, Y, and Z or X, Y, and Z, they could walk to someone else who would not be so intrusive in their questions. Mm-hmm. How do advisors find that role and one that their gifts, their personality, and the clients that they serve?
Well, I think there are two things. I think they need those strategies. So they just to make them feel comfortable in those situations. But I think Bridgehouse is working with the Canadian Mental Health Association to provide structure to help the advisor when they're in these situations to have a peer group to talk to. And the peer group may be within an organization, it may be within their own advisory firm or outside of their advisory firm. It's almost clinical in nature, where you can sit down with others in the firm, talk about strategies so that you can get back to the role of being an advisor, but with a greater sense of peer approaches or strategies, and also mental health professionals who may sit on a committee to help with advisors who can give them more formalized strategies and resources that they can use in interacting with the client.
It's really helpful, Anne. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Navigator Principal Anne Kilpatrick on some new research on mental health and financial advisors. Clearly, there is work to be done.